Taking a comprehensive look at the week's indie wrestling news so you don't have to, it's the PWP Weekly Newscast on PWPonderings.com with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo.
How's it going, listeners? Welcome back to a jumbo edition, that's right, of the weekly newscast here on pwponderings.com. If this is the first time you are listening to us, what we essentially do is run down the major results of the weekend, get into some news, preview cards for upcoming shows, and we have a lot of shows to talk about. So we have brought in the big guns, our senior editor, Jerome Cusan, all the way from Chi-Town. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
If you called this show jumbo because I'm a little husky, then we're going to have words after the show.
How did you know? Next up, we are bringing back Brian, who is our resident PWG. He's kind of the expert here on PW Pondering. So, Brian, how are you doing, sir?
Does anyone want to go backwards? Ho, ho, ho.
Boom. And, of course, the West Coast flavor is here, as always, Des Delgadillo. Des, how are you doing, sir?
This is a West Coast edition. We are taking over, and Jerome is all alone in his little corner.
Great. Another invasion in wrestling. Just what we needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get this down, because there's a lot of stuff to get to. So this is what I'm going to do. We're going to run down two results from FIP. Yes, Full Impact Pro. They came back this March 15th in Ybor City, Florida. It was established dominance. It was an iPay-per-view. Some people said some good. Some people said some bad. Whatever. It was a good show, I guess. There was a four-way freestyle. Mike Cruz versus Lince Dorado, Shane Strickland, and DWB. I have no idea what that stands for. But he lost the match to Shane Strickland. Sugar Dunkerton and Aaron Epic defeated Biff Busick and Angel Santos. Kenneth Cameron, yes, that Kenneth Cameron, formerly of NXT, defeated Johnny Vandal. Tommy Taylor defeated Jonathan Gresham. Maxwell Chicago defeated Derek Rise. Chaz and Rance defeated Corey Hollis. For the FIP tag team titles, it was Dos Bendejos of Eddie Cruz and Jay Rios. They defeated the Scene of Caleb Conley and Scott Reed with Larry Dallas, Johnny Vandal, Trina Michaels, and Buggy Nova. They retained those titles. That was said to be one of the better, if not the best, match on the show. Notwithstanding, the main event was for the FIP World Heavyweight title. It was John Davis. He defended against Samuel Del Sol, and he won. And that was also said to be a very good match. Next one up was VWAA Adapt or Die out of Plainfield, Illinois. That took place March 16th. Joe Faraz defeated Alex Bernardino. Tyler Baggins defeated Jervis Cottonbelly. He was there with Veronica, which was rather odd. The League of Trip Cassidy and Reed Bentley defeated the Painkillers. Thomas Sinclair defeated Ethan Page. Sinclair was then attacked by the League afterwards. Kalevra defeated Dale Patrick's. Assailant defeated Dysfunction. And in a three-way, Prince Ali defeated Mark Angel, better known as Mr. Touchdown, and Josh Alexander. Look for a review of that show coming up very shortly on PWP. As always, we have other results as well. CWF Crossroads, which took place this weekend, but we're not giving those away because they have already uploaded it to YouTube for free. Yes, the entire event is already up. Check out our results page for that video. I don't even understand how these guys get their events up so quickly. It kind of pushes what we've talked about many times on the newscast, that if you're utilizing this technology, there is almost no excuse to wait that long to see events. But notwithstanding, we also have Interspecies Wrestling three-dimension results as well. Check the information in the podcast where to find those results.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that Interspecies Wrestling show from TJ Hawk and Mike Falcone. So this is one you'll want to check out when it comes to Smart Mark Video or Interspecies website. Heard nothing but good things. What a fun show it was.
Exactly. I believe it was headlined by Izzy Dead Yet versus the Necro Butcher. So how could you go wrong with those two guys?
NAR Fox had a good match. Shocker.
Yeah, news there. All right, let's dive into some small bit of news and previews for shows coming up. In Ring of Honor news, Carl Anderson, he's coming over. Yes, he's coming from Japan to face Michael Elgin on TV at the TV tapings taking place after Supercard of Honor. And at Supercard, he's facing Roderick Strong. Two good matches. Dez, just your quick thoughts on that. Carl Anderson in America.
Yeah, I think it's going to be some good couple of matches. I Carl Anderson, his history in Ring of Honor isn't really that extensive. He's been there twice before. So I guess bringing him in is sort of new for a lot of fans. But when I honestly, when I think Carl Anderson, or when I think New Japan superstars who I want to see in Ring of Honor, no offense to Carl Anderson, but he's not necessarily at the very top of my list.
You know who is at the top of your list? Tanahashi.
We have chemistry, you see.
Clearly. I was actually lucky enough to see Carl Anderson at the infamous Chaos at the Cow. That was a fun show. Maybe. Kind of.
That's right.
That's where he wrestled for Ring of Honor. I couldn't remember where he wrestled for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, a lot of empty seats on that one.
Yeah, quite a bit. But we can get into that later. So another promotion that, Jerome, you know a lot about, AAW. They're presenting Epic, the 9-year anniversary event. That's in Berwyn, Illinois. It takes place March 23rd. That's Saturday. Doors open at 6:45. $18 front row. $13 general admission. $1.25 beers. I'm sold.
Always a selling point, I think, is those $1.25 beers and $3 shots of Malort. If you have never heard of Jepson's Malort, go Wikipedia right now as you're listening to this podcast and just bask in the possible dreadful taste of Jepson's Malort.
Absolutely. So I'm going to run down the already announced part of the card. Obviously, it's not the whole one. Then, Jerome, just going to get your thoughts on it. Special challenge match, Davey Richards versus ACH, Jimmy Jacobs versus Shane Hollister, Mischief versus Heidi Loveless, and in a grudge match, Ryan Boz versus Keith Walker. And then, of course, the Irish Airborne, who are the AAW Tag Champions, Juntai Miller, Matt Fitchett, T.D. Thomas, Prince Ali, Lamar Titan, Lewis Linden, Davey Vega, and more, all announced for the card. Jerome, tell us a little bit about it, and are you going to be tweeting results?
I will be tweeting results at twitter.com/PWPonderings. It's going to be a very interesting weekend here. Sami Callihan and Michael Elgin are both in PWG this weekend. So two of AAW's top stars are going to be on the West Coast. Silas Young is on a family vacation. Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin are at Jerry Lynn's retirement show that's going to be taking place in Minneapolis this Saturday as well. So a lot of the undercard guys are going to get an opportunity. The match I think everyone is looking forward to, whether you're an AEW fan or not, ACH and Davey Richards, going to be really exciting. They interacted a little bit in a tag team match on Ring of Honor television that I really enjoyed, and I know that they have wrestled in St. Louis Anarchy as well. But this is AAW. This is a main event. ACH is the Heritage Champion. Davey Richards is chasing the Heavyweight Championship. If you're an independent wrestling fan, then this is the top one of the matches that you want to see. There are a lot of dream matches taking place this weekend, and I would argue that ACH and Davey Richards is at the top of the list for one of the biggest. So just a really exciting card that I'm going to be tweeting this Saturday. Josh Alexander and Ethan Page, who made their Chicago debut last week wrestling for VWAA, they will be in AAW this weekend and making their debut for them. And I'm really excited to see what they bring to the table. You know, AIW has done a fantastic job of showcasing these guys, and whether it be because of that reason, because of my pestering, whether because of because of Michael Elgin or anyone else, the important thing is that these two guys are invading another independent company and getting to showcase what they do. So I am very much looking forward to this. Plus, I believe Christian Rose is going to be making his AEW debut in some form or fashion. Check it. So another reason to come to AEW this very Saturday. Really looking forward to it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and another show that's happening Saturday, March 23rd, Carbondale, Illinois, is the PW Collision TV tapings this Saturday. I'm going to have a podcast later out this week with management from PW Collision, so check that out. We'll be running down the card and lots of fun stuff happening there. But I've talked for a long time, and we've now gotten to the meat of the show. PWG is holding their All-Star Weekend 9. Takes place Friday, March 22nd, and Saturday, March 23rd. That's why we brought Brian on the show to talk about this. So, Brian, I'm going to run down the card, and you're going to be the first one to give us your thoughts on this. There was some unfortunate news on March 7th. There are some changes that had to be made. The Super Smash Brothers, they're not going to be able to make the show. So here's the new revised Night 1 card in a Guerrilla Warfare match. Drake Younger versus Sami Callihan. The winner takes on Adam Cole on Night 2. AR Fox and Samuel Del Sol versus the Inner City Machine Guns. That's Ricochet and Rich Swann. Formerly Trent Beretta of WWE versus Roderick Strong. The Young Bucks of Nick and Matt Jackson versus Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. Kevin Steen versus Paul London. Jay Lethal versus Eddie Edwards. Future Shock of Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole versus the Unbreakable Fucking Machines of Brian Cage and Michael Elgin. For Night 2, that is March 23rd, Adam Cole, as we said, he's the PWG World Champion. He's taking on the winner of Younger versus Callahan. For the tag team titles, the Young Bucks are taking on the Dojo Bros of Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards. I think that's going to be a pretty crazy match. Kevin Steen versus AR Fox, Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. They're going to be taking on the Rock Nest Monsters. TJ Perkins versus Samuel Del Sol. The Inner City Machine Guns versus the Unbreakable Fucking Machines. Trent Beretta versus Paul London. And Jay Lethal versus Willie Mack. All right. I've talked for a long time. Brian, take it away.
You know, I'm so excited for this weekend. It's so fresh getting all this new talent coming in. It's so... it's so hard to explain this feeling. It's like a new chapter in PWG almost. You got all this new talent coming in. It's like the end of the Generico era. And then you got like Johnny Gargano. You got Samurai Del Sol, AR Fox. You got a DGUSA kind of invasion going. And it's going to be really fun. And it's going to be really interesting to see Paul London. Is he going to do comedy? Is he going to be old school Paul London? Because Kevin Steen, I mean, Kevin Steen's either going to beat him up really hard and then Paul London will do like the babyface comeback thing, or it'll be just weird comedy that Paul London loves to do. And Kevin Steen, he can do weird comedy too. And we'll see how that goes. But I'm really looking forward to Inner City Machine Guns against Fox and Del Sol. And that was supposed to be a six-man tag, but, you know, unfortunately SSD's not going to be there. But this kind of makes up – it's kind of the same match basically, just switched it up. But, yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to the Machine Guns entrance because it's really understated that at DDT4 they came out to Lionel Richie's All Night Long, and – I have never marked out harder at a PWG show for that. I'm not really like a huge Lionel Richie fan, but that song is really fun to play on a big speaker. And let's see, like Night 2 is going to be fun too. I don't think the Bucks are going to lose the belts because, I don't know, it's the Bucks and it's PWG, something to get used to. AR Fox and Kevin Steen is going to be freaking insane, I know it. AR Fox is going to try to kill himself. Doing all kinds of dives into the crowd and whatnot, and Kevin Steen's going to try to destroy AR Fox as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, you and Dez better be careful during that match.
That's going to be dangerous, because I think, I mean, God, just knowing what AR Fox can do and this, what, oh man, it's going to be crazy. I know he's going to do something from the stage, I just know it, I just don't know what he's going to do yet. Maybe jump from the ring to the stage, or stage to the ring, I don't know, it's going to be crazy. And then you got the return of the Rockness Monsters, who haven't been there since, I believe it was December. And they're, I don't know why they weren't at DDT4. I thought that was kind of weird. There was a lot of things weird about DDT4, but aside from that. Oh, and plus you got the Guerrilla Warfare, which is going to be almost like a deathmatch, I want to assume. I mean, these are going to be, I mean, it's a CZW-style deathmatch that I'm expecting, even though it's called Guerrilla Warfare. But, I mean, knowing those two and what they can do and the kind of deathmatches they can pull off, it's going to be insane. I've never seen Trent Beretta wrestle in my life, so that'll be interesting, but I do love his name, Trent, ? And yeah, that's pretty much it. Some other things, let's see.
You didn't see the massive push he was getting on NXT? How could you, Brian?
I don't even know what season he was on. There you go.
Dez, you know who Trent Brett is, correct?
Wasn't he one half of the Dude Busters?
Yes, he was. So tell us about him and let Brian know how great he is.
Well, Brian, you see, Trent was a wrestler on the NXT brand who was also on WWE television, although you wouldn't know it because he was usually getting pinned by the more important wrestlers. But I guess he was very good. I think I've only seen like one or two of his matches myself, but I know he was very underutilized, and I think PWG is the place for him, especially if he wants to prove WWE wrong and then letting him go. This is the place for it. PWG is where wrestlers go to shine in terms of their in-ring work. So if Trent formerly Beretta wants to mix it up with the big boys, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, he's not, I mean, with guys like Roderick Strong and Paul London, couldn't really go wrong there. So just to be clear, Dez, you're at night two only, correct?
Yeah.
And Brian, you're going to be at both, correct?
Correct.
All right, so this is going to be a lot of fun there. Obviously, we are going to be live tweeting results, thanks to Brian, at twitter.com/pwponderings. Jerome, big show this weekend on the West Coast. Your thoughts?
I think there's a lot to look forward to on both of these cards. Let's start with night one. I think that Jay Lethal and Eddie Edwards is a match that could happen in Ring of Honor. It's going to be really good, but I can't say I'm completely blown away with that decision, given that it could sort of happen anywhere. But if that's the match I'm least looking forward to, which it's not, there's actually one match I'm really not looking forward to. But, I think this card otherwise is really strong. Future Shock versus the Unbreakable Fucking Machines is going to be great. Just watching Cage and Elgin toss O'Reilly and Cole. Can we just talk about for a second? Now, Adam Cole, it's a given that he's probably one of the best heels in independent wrestling. But Kyle O'Reilly is no slouch himself in the heel department. Dez, I know that you watch Ring of Honor far more than Brian does. But Kyle O'Reilly, pretty great heel, right?
Yeah.
That was a wonderful response.
That was an awesome endorsement.
Way to back me up. Way to really make my case.
I think he's coming into his own. I think when he first started as heel Kyle O'Reilly feuding with Davey Richards back in June, I wasn't too sold on him. But I think, over the past, especially since he's worked with Bobby Fish in Ring of Honor, I've come around and become more of an O'Reilly fan. So I think he's really improved as a heel. And I think
Ascot's alone, just beautiful. Love it. Yeah. Kevin Steen and Paul London. I don't know what to expect. There's so many different directions this could go.
I hope it's wacky.
I don't know.
It could be wacky and brutal at the same time, or brutal because it's so wacky, or who knows.
This could go in so many. I feel like night one has a lot of question marks to it.
Like trash.
Literally.
I mean, we'll get to one of them in just a moment, but the Young Bucks and Chuck Taylor, the Young Bucks versus Taylor and Gargano, that is not a question mark. I had it as the Chikara match of the year in 2012. I know what to expect. It's going to be really awesome. I think best of all, the Young Bucks are going to be heels and Gargano and Taylor are faces. I think that is the correct way of doing things. Gargano is a way better face than he is a heel, and I think people just like to cheer for Chuck Taylor, so I think the roles are going to be correct, and this could be even better than the Chikara match. Trent, question mark, versus Roderick Strong. Look, if Trent, question mark, can't have a good match with Roderick Strong, then his stay in independent wrestling is not going to be good, because Roderick Strong is pretty much the most consistent performer in any company that he's in, whether it be for Ring of Honor, PWG, or anywhere else. If you want to sort of have someone if you want to assess their skills, you put them in the ring with Roderick Strong. And I think, Ring of Honor has done that with guys like Silas Young and ACH. You notice those guys have had matches with Roderick Strong already because Strong is such a great performer. And I think this is a very similar case. I think putting Trent question mark in there with Roderick Strong is a great move. And, his career, Trent Beretta, Trent question mark, whatever you want to call him, it could go in so many different directions. I said that if the opportunity is there and if he really takes this seriously, he could sort of be the next James Gibson as a guy who comes from the major leagues and reestablishes himself in the independent ranks so much that he's back with the big company by the end of the year because of the performances that he turns in on the indies. So that's what I'm hoping for. I want to see, guys who have been at the big time really excel, in the indies. Fox and Del Sol versus the Inner City Machine Guns is going to be great. DGUSA has not delivered on this match, so PWG once again stealing someone's thunder. Drake Younger and Sami Callihan, and look, I am not a fan of their matches at all. So it's pretty interesting that I'm looking forward to most of the matches. Yet the one that's the main event is probably the one I'm least looking forward to. It's personal taste, not my thing. Night two, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. I think with A.R. Fox against Kevin Steen, this could be AR Fox's big weekend to show that he is probably the biggest star on the one of the biggest stars on the independent scene. I think that's, you know, and the, I think the same is for Gargano and for Del Sol. You know, these guys have been in DGUSA and Evolve. Some of these guys, a lot of these guys have been in Dragon Gate, but it feels like this weekend for those three, this is their chance to cement themselves as three of the best on the independent scene. Evolve and DGUSA, the reality is they don't get the support that even PWG does. And whereas I think the measuring stick of independent wrestling used to be Ring of Honor, I think that's gone to PWG now. So I think that Fox and Gargano and Del Sol, this is their big weekend. Obviously, Trent Beretta, same thing. I guess another match I'm really looking forward to, the Inner City Machine Guns against Cage and Elgin, because Cage and Elgin just get to toss them around. So that's that was what I was hoping to see in DDT4, but given how that tournament went, I'm almost glad that it's happening this weekend instead. I expect the Young Bucks to retain, but I think we should talk about this PW title situation a little bit.
Yeah, I think we should. It's because it's obviously there's a little bit of rumors going around, a little bit of conversation about Adam Cole. He's obviously the PWG champion. So I don't really know, Jerome. I'm gonna have you start off. What do you think is gonna happen?
Well, let's think about this for a second. Adam Cole lost the PWX heavyweight title, then he lost the Ring of Honor television title. There's a lot of rumors floating around. He's having a blow-off match with Sami Callihan at CZW at Best of the Best. He is contracted to wrestle for the TV title in Ring of Honor as well as Kevin Steen, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Adam Cole is going to be long for the independent scene. Logic dictates that Adam Cole is not walking away this weekend with the PWG title. We'll ultimately have to see. There's no guarantees on that, but if you ask me, I don't think Sami Callihan is a great option based on his potential future, based on sort of what PWG is, based on their brand. I don't think Drake Younger is the best choice either. Based on performance, based on really a number of factors and some of the booking that could happen on night one, I could very easily see Michael Elgin pinning Adam Cole on night one, and then inserting himself into the title match on night two, and Michael Elgin walks away with the PWG title. If this were me, if this was my company, that's kind of how I would do it. I think that Kevin Steen has had many opportunities, and not to say that he would be a bad champion, but I think that it's time for PWG to sort of turn their focus elsewhere. And I think Michael Elgin is probably one of the best options that you have right now, just given the performances that he's turning in every company that he's in. And, you know, I think you strike while the iron is hot.
I could understand that, but I will throw in there that if you are going to kind of throw that out there, one, yes, Jerome, you're not very high on Drake Younger versus Sami Callihan, but Drake Younger, he's pretty much local to California now. So I think that, you know, that might play into it as well. And then we can't, you know, forget Brian Cage. Brian Cage, you know, he did have that title match, but he's also local. And his name is within that, I guess, that cloud of guys who could face and be a potential PWG champion. Dez, what are your thoughts on the title situation right now in PWG?
That was going to be exactly my thing, too, is Drake Younger is now a local guy. As local as, you know, he's a California guy, I guess. He's not a Southern California, but he's Northern. So I when I was thinking about this and thinking what would Cole do and who would we lose the title to, I thought Drake Younger right away just because of the logistics side of it. And again, I just can't see Sami Callihan as the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Champion. It's, I mean, I guess it could potentially happen, but it's kind of hard for me to envision. Drake Younger is a little easier for me to envision as champion. I do like, Jerome, your idea, though, of having one of the guys, whether it be Cage or Elgin, get the win over Cole in the tag and then insert himself and make it a three-way the next night. I think that kind of again, I like when shows have continuity between them. And I think with PWG running this, the weekend shows, I think it'd make a lot of sense to do it that way and just make it a little more compelling. But if not Cage, then definitely Younger, in my eyes, walks away with it on Saturday night.
Brian, what are you thinking about all this?
I got to agree on the Younger thing about the location and the logistics of it. But also I saw on Younger's Twitter that, I don't know, if it seemed like an eerie kind of tweet saying he's like two wins away from the PWG world title. What a way I've come. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking that's a little eerie. And I don't know. I mean, because the way the crowd reacts to Drake Younger and Sami Callihan, it's they get more of a bigger pop than most of the guys on the roster, which sounds kind of crazy, except maybe Kevin Steen. But there's this weird, like, emotional, like, response to, like, especially Sami Callihan, and it's starting to spread to Drake Younger, too. I think it's just based on the way they perform in the ring, that intensity and something about the crowd that just connects with them. Because I remember when Sami Callihan, like, made his entrance for Bola, and the crowd was just so pumped for him. And I was like, wow, like, they're so pumped for Sami Callihan. That's unbelievable. And then Drake Younger started getting this response, too, because based on, I mean, he's busting his ass and nearly destroying his body for the fans, and I think the fans are responding to that. And the way they respond to him being the underdog in every match, you know, getting beat up and coming back. I mean, he's only had one win in, like, his five PWG matches, excluding a six-man tag. And it seems like a good story to tell, and based on everything that could happen in the near future for some future talents. So it would make – I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't – I mean – because I was surprised that the Bucks won DDT4, to be honest. I mean, that was surprising to me. But Drake Younger winning the world title is not surprising. And, I mean, I would like to see Michael Elgin, too, as the world champ. That would be sweet, too. But I think you would want to build to that moment. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, I got to say Drake Younger just because it seems more – I mean, you want to build to a title win. So if Michael Elgin's going to do it, I don't think it should be at a surprise. I mean, then Kevin Steen won it that way, too, so – it's tough, but I got to go with Drake Younger.
Well, I think also maybe the – and, you know, we've said this many times, and I've had a few guys tell me this. The PWG fan base, as odd as this sounds, the guys that are at the shows, not the ones – not like us buying the DVDs and stuff, but the people at the show, they're not necessarily indie wrestling fans.
Oh, not at all.
They are PWG fans. And I think they've connected with Drake also because of the underlying story. You know, we all know he's had his vices in life, and he's come out to, you know, Northern Cali, and PWG's kind of run that redemption story of he's cleaner, you know, he's doing his thing, and he's in much better shape. But I guess to the point that Jerome, and I guess Jerome, I'm going to ask you about this, is it that you kind of question, and not that, you know, you're an expert, quote-unquote, on Drake Younger's style or whatever, but do you question his ability to have better matches once with people that are not Sami Callihan? Is that kind of what you're saying? If PWG puts the title on him, who else is he going to have strong matches with? Is that kind of the line of thinking?
Well, I think it depends on what your definition of a strong match is. There are a lot of people who love the Sami Callihan-Drake Younger series so far, and I don't like it. I didn't like their match at DDT4 at all, and people in the crowd really liked it. So it's tough for me to say you like – there are people that like sort of that car crash. I think it is – and I don't say car crash in the same way like the Vince Russo style of booking, but that's what these matches are. They're not storytelling in any way. They're sort of PWG with the volume turned up even more. And if people like that, then that's fine. But for me as a PWG fan, and I've been someone who's watched the company now for, God, almost 4 years, almost over 4 years now. And I know that may not be as long as you three living in California, but, you know, that's still a pretty long time. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Drake Younger's, the way that he wrestles. I think he's really talented, and I'm very happy that he's straight, that, you know, he's an international star, that he's gotten himself into great shape, that he's a happy, positive guy. I think that's wonderful. But given the style, I think I could either see, you know, some fans sort of burning out on it. That might not be the case. And I could see some fans not being excited for Drake Younger as the PWG champion, because I think while the live crowd is important, I think this company also relies on DVDs as well.
Well, Brian, you and Dez, you guys are two of the ones, because obviously I'm in Northern California, so I don't get to go to a lot of PWG shows. So I'm going to go to you first, Brian. What do you think about that? Respond to, I guess, Jerome's thoughts about Drake Younger's style, and will it mix with the PWG crowd and kind of the, you know, the larger IWC crowd that buys the DVDs?
I'm in the middle on the whole, you know, Sami Callihan, Drake Younger series itself. I mean, I have the same kind of qualms, because when I saw that chair shot live, it was just, I mean, I almost caught that piece of plastic, you know what I mean? Like, I was that close to it.
Right. Yeah, you even texted me that night, and you're like, man, that's, you know, we all love a good action.
I know, I was in shock, to be honest, because I was like, that was maybe a little too much. But, I mean, thank God it was a plastic chair. God, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if that's even worse now that I think about it, but, I mean, I think Drake Younger has to slow down a bit, and I think, because, I mean, if you watch that Roderick Strong match, it was just, you know, balls to the wall from the get-go, and I think that's why people love his style, like the live crowd, because it's, you know, very, that's, you know, like that style's for the live crowd, and I see what Jerome is saying, and I think, I mean, I don't know, I mean, it feels like they're kind of in a corner now, the way they book themselves, which is kind of odd for PWG, but it's just based on circumstances, I guess. But maybe, I mean, maybe he's a transitional champion. You never know. But, I mean, I think Drake Younger can get a lot better. It's obvious that he can get a lot better. And I think, yeah, I don't know. He's got to stop, like, less brawling from the start and, like, build up to the spots outside as opposed to just going balls to the wall and doing crazy shit from the start. But, I mean,
and we've seen him do that in CZW. He was having some pretty great technical matches, you know, being CZW
yeah,
champion.
I think it's that rush because, I mean, God, that crowd, if as soon as you slow down, like, I mean, there's hardly any wrestles in PWG if you notice because it shuts the crowd down. And they want to keep that flow going throughout the night. And Drake Younger fits that style, but at the same time, I don't think it sells too many DVDs. I guess that it's true. I mean, it's very niche style, and I guess, you know, you want to have that variety. Kind of what DJ Hyde said, that buffet table of wrestling. But, I mean, it's too bad Adam Cole can't keep the title. That's all I can say. But, I mean, he could, but, I mean, we'll see.
Dez, what are your thoughts on this? And your thoughts on if, you know, some of this comes through, if Drake, as you predicted, going forward, how's his style going to mesh?
God, you know, I have to agree with Brian in terms of watching that match live with the chair and just, I don't even want to laugh about it. It was kind of awful. And not in terms of it was a bad match, but it was an awful experience for me because I've never been a proponent of that kind of match. And especially just knowing how good, Drake has been, to us and, to my website and just how helpful he's been. And how just easygoing the guy is. You know, one second he's a happy-go-lucky, laughing guy, and the next he's just doing these insane, insane things in the ring. Slowing down, I think, is a great, great choice for Drake. But, again, like Brian said, I think he said it perfectly, it's PWG. And for them, it's like slowing down is not an option, which, you know, I have my own opinions on that when it comes to PWG and their style. But, you know, that's what fans are into. That's what they've adapted to, is just fast-paced, no-rest style. So I don't see fans getting burnt down on Drake Younger just because let me amend that. I don't see live crowds getting burnt out on Drake Younger. He's just the kind of guy who, when you're live, he's going to give you one hell of a show every time. In terms of DVD sales, I don't know how they're doing, so I couldn't comment on how it will affect the sales. But I think from a live standpoint, and that's where PWG seems to really hit home every time, I think Drake would be a great champion. I don't know how long he would keep the title, but I think fans would love to watch the guy work over and over again.
What I like, though, about Jerome's idea with Michael Elgin getting the championship, though, is Michael Elgin, he's the AAW heavyweight champion right now, and he's showing what he can do in that promotion. In PWG, it's kind of one of those, I don't know how to say this, but it's kind of like a stepping stone. It's like, if, say, Michael Elgin did win the PWG championship, I think more eyes would be on him, and places like a Ring of Honor would say, you know what, if PWG feels comfortable with him headlining their shows and it does well, will do it. And that's not denigrating AAW, but I don't feel like it, like Ring of Honor is watching what they do and saying, oh, okay, we see, we get it now. But if PWG does it, I think they would pay attention. And I don't want to kind of get into that, but there is quite a bit of evidence to show that when PWG does something and it's successful, a lot of other promotions seem to do that too. So I kind of want to go down that route also. So Jerome, since you brought it up, Elgin is champion. Who would you put up against him in PWG if he was champion?
I mean, look, if you're a fan of the Drake Younger style, that's fine. But I think that for me, I much prefer Michael Elgin's, the way that Michael Elgin wrestles, because I've seen, you know, I don't think he needs to rely on some of the things that Drake Younger does. Michael Elgin doesn't need to do that. And I think because of that, I feel that Michael Elgin's matches are better for it. And I think the style that he wrestles, he can wrestle so many more different people. You know, if they want to do Michael Elgin versus Kyle O'Reilly for the PWG title, they can do that. If they want to do an Elgin-Steen rematch, you know, if they want to do Elgin and Willie Mack rematch, because that was an outstanding match. You know, Michael Elgin and Gargano, I know they did it in AIW, but you know, I know that you have to believe PWG would want to deliver on something like that. You know, possibly Michael Elgin versus AR Fox. Michael Elgin versus so many guys in PWG. I feel like Michael Elgin is capable of having better matches with those type of people. And for Drake Younger, you know, I don't know how many other wrestlers are willing to sort of go with the style that Younger wrestles. I mean, B-Boy's willing to do it. Sammy Callahan's willing to do it. But, you know, is someone like Michael Elgin going to go that crazy? I mean, I guess A.R. Fox would too, right? A.R. Fox is a pretty wacky guy. But
yeah,
I don't know. For me personally, you know, I think this comes down to personal taste. You know, I think if you're a fan of Drake Younger, then you're really excited for the potential of him winning the belt this weekend. If you're not, then you're hoping for something else. I fall into the camp that is hoping for something else. And if you want Drake Younger as champion, that's fine. But, you know, I don't think that this is the direction that they need to be going in. The Sammy Callahan-Drake Younger match that happened last month should not be a regular thing. I think it's uncomfortable. I don't think in this era, in the post-Nigel McGuinness documentary era, these are not the type of matches that should be happening on the independent scene. Especially one with such high visibility as PWG.
I could definitely see that point. So going down that line, if we do end up with that, since it's the only other option we've thrown out there, Dez, if Michael Elgin was PWG champion, who are three guys you'd want to see him face?
Oh, God. Let's see. I love playing fantasy Booker. So Elgin, I guess it'd be cool to see him face Gargano. I've seen the match before on AIW. I'd like to see it again. I think PWG would want to kind of take that match and see if they could maybe do it better. So I'd love to see that because I really enjoyed the first one. Maybe even Callahan. I believe they've wrestled before. I think they wrestled at the Bola maybe. Or maybe it was...
And they've wrestled in AEW once, and then they had a three-way.
Okay. So, again, I think PWG's in the habit of taking matches that have been done and just making them PWG-esque, you know, in terms of making it a whole lot crazier. So those are two off the top of my head. Maybe a one-on-one with... It'd be a mesh of styles, maybe, but maybe a one-on-one with Drake Younger. And I think Elgin would kind of make it his match, so Drake would be forced to wrestle kind of a different style with Elgin. Or even with Cage. I think Cage, too, just to have the unbreakable fucking machines go one-on-one with each other. It's kind of strength versus strength. I think I'd enjoy that, too. So I think with Elgin, there are a lot of different possibilities, and none of them are really bad.
Absolutely. Brian, I'm going to shoot you the same question. What would you think? Three opponents for Michael Elgin.
A.R. Fox, Kevin Steen, Brian Cage.
Done.
Well, I mean, because if you think about it, that if you've seen that Bola match between Brian Cage and Michael Elgin, I felt like another 5 minutes it would have gone to like awesome territory. And I think they have a potential to create this heavyweight kind of atmosphere, because the way they suplexed each other in that match was pretty like a unique back and forth kind of spot. So I'm imagining like if they had a one-on-one main event when they got to put it all on the line, like they can put on like a great heavyweight battle because of their size and their ability. And then AR Fox is another crazy one, and then of course Kevin Steen with the big rematch. And usually PWG does it better, so maybe it'll even be better than the ROH match. So there you go.
And I could actually even see some padding matches in there where, say, there's not a strong tag team division right now at the moment. You could have Michael Elgin, if he's champion, go up against Nick one night, Matt the next. You know, and those are two guys that could really have a great match, I think, with Elgin. It'd be kind of, you know, and obviously you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to lose. But given PWG's history, you really don't know. They could pull a fast one. So
I'd love to see the Young Bucks in singles action, just because I think it would be so different. And I think I almost think that just to freshen their story up, I think singles matches with those two would come off really well, especially if they did another doubleheader and Elgin wrestled them both. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And that, actually, when you were saying, Jerome, that Elgin was kind of more your pick, those were the first two guys. Because let's be honest, there is not a quote-unquote core PWG roster. I mean, as you guys said, we're seeing the Rocknest Monsters come back, and they're pretty much local. And then we haven't seen Willie Mack in a little bit. So when you were like, okay, let's have Elgin as champion, who would mesh up with him well? First people came to mind with the Young Bucks. They could go with his style. And then when we were kind of making arguments with Drake Younger, I was kind of thinking in my head, yeah, but with Drake Younger would have good matches with guys like the Young Bucks. And I'm not saying he wouldn't, but I can't really picture it. I don't know. I couldn't really imagine it. I'm not saying that would be bad.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, Jay Lethal, based on this conversation, Jay Lethal is walking away the PWG champion.
Exactly.
What if that happened? What if Jay Lethal, after all this time, wins the PWG World title?
I quit wrestling.
Really?
What if AR Fox wins the title and it's an Evolve invasion? Yeah, that's right. I put it out there.
If PWG does an invasion angle, I'm done with wrestling. But if AR Fox wins the PWG title, that would actually not bother me.
Yeah, that's the great thing about PWG's quote-unquote roster. Almost any of the guys could do it because they're top names everywhere else. And it just, except for Paul London, but, you know, he is what he is.
I think it'd be a hell of a way for him to sort of make his stamp in independent wrestling. I mean, look, I think we're going to obviously have a ton of WrestleCon stuff coming up, but if AR Fox isn't the first Evolve champion, I think Evolve is crazy. But you know what? Maybe it would be interesting to see AR Fox is a regular and see how fast he wins that PWG title, because you don't need to cut a good promo in this company to get over. You just need to be a little bit crazy, and AR Fox is a lot bit crazy. So it works out really well. I mean, I'm really excited to see these new roster members. You know, I'm sad that El Generico is gone, but you know, I look at Gargano, Fox, Del Sol. These are all guys who should have been in PWG a little while ago. And I'm really glad that they're here, and I hope that they're consistent roster members, and I hope that these three guys get the chance to be the stars that, unfortunately, they're not in Dragon Gate USA.
Dude, I think it's pretty exciting, and one name that I'm just going to throw out there, Samuel Del Sol, come on. Come on. If Del Sol was PW champion, that house would be packed every single time.
That's true.
Going up against anyone.
But then he might have to go to AAA and do his bookings there, and it could contract, you know.
Octagon Jr. can defend the title. It makes it a world title. There you go. Even though, I mean, it is. I'm just saying.
And you never know. I might see him at a AAA show in LA this year.
That's something we all talked about. And Conan did release a lot of info on that, so I'm going to plug that real quick. MLW Podcast. Check out what he put out there with Court Bauer, because that brings some differences to American wrestling right now.
Absolutely. I think the difference between AR Fox and Samurai Del Sol, I think Del Sol is worlds better than he used to be, but I think AR Fox, there's just something about this guy that when he's in the ring, He makes me excited to watch wrestling more so than almost anyone else. Him and ACH are probably at the top of my list for guys that just make me excited to watch independent wrestling. And, you know, AR Fox is not the best promo in the world, but, you know, he is very quickly taking up the mantle of El Generico as the guy who will have good matches with anyone on the roster. And that's a very tough – those are tough shoes to fill. But, man, Fox is – he's having great matches on every show, best matches, and it's pretty incredible to watch.
Des, I actually think we talked about this a little while back, and I'm not entirely sure why we didn't even mention it. Night one, Des, AR Fox and Samuel Del Sol are team up against Ricochet and Rich Swann. Tell me something crazy is not going to happen in that match, and I will slap you.
Yeah, no, if I could think of one match right now that's going to be just absolute crazy aerial just insanity, it's got to be that one. You've got four of the nuttiest guys right now, and I'm actually jealous of you, Brian. I wish I could watch those four at the same time. That would be awesome.
Well,
yeah, it's going to be sweet.
Are there any other thoughts on these two cards? Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to interfere there. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, that was the match. As soon as the cards came out, like, that was the, well, I mean, when it was a six-man tag, that was the match that I was like, oh, my God, that's going to be it. Like, like that's going to be – and it still is, I think, because, I mean, you see them in DGUSA and Evolve, man. They just mesh so well together, and they bring that Dragon Gate USA style to the ring, and they're going to bring it to PWG, and it's going to be perfect. I mean, not five-star perfect, but – hopefully we get close to that.
So any more thoughts on PWG? Because that does kind of tie into what's coming up next in roughly the same area on the same weekend.
If you don't go to this show and you live in the area, you're nuts. Because I wanted to fly to California to watch these two shows.
I heard.
And I didn't get a chance to, but these shows are going to be awesome. And if you don't go, then I shake my fist very hard at you.
Well, I'm going to throw out there that there are three shows happening. So that's Friday and Saturday. Obviously, crazy nights of wrestling. Sunday, March 24th, a show that I don't think is getting enough credit. It's Brian Kendrick's King of Flight. Ringside $15, dinner admission $11, kids 12 and under $8. Is happening at the Pappy Pineda Dome in Huntington Park, California. It is 8 single-round elimination tournament style, and these are the 8 contestants. Amazing Red, Paul London, AR Fox, Rich Swann, The Young Bucks, Nick and Mac Jackson, Samuel Del Sol, and Ricochet. These are the 8 guys involved in a tournament. Is there any chance that any 8 of them can have a bad match with the other? Dez, I'm going to go to you first. I just can't see it.
My answer would be no.
Maybe Paul London and Amazing Red, because I don't even think they have their early Ring of Honor stuff, and past that, I'm not really sure if they've ever faced each other, but I don't know. I just can't see it being bad.
And we're going to get to see the Young Bucks in singles action.
There you go. So, Brian, I don't think either you or Dez are going to be able to make it to the show, but with just those 8 guys alone, and I believe there could be other people involved as well, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, when I read about it, I wanted to go, but then just the money involved with the PWG weekend, it'd be kind of – it's a little – plus the travel, it's kind of out of my way. But, I mean, I was going to order it if it was on iPay-per-view, but it's not even, like, on iPay-per-view, and I think this is, like, his first show. And that, from what I've heard, the Pappy Pineda Dome, that's where they had the DGUSA LA shows, the Saturday
right.
And
yes.
Yeah, and the Sunday show, and that's where Brian Kendrick does his training school, or for his whatever it's called, his – Brian Kendrick's School of Wrestling or something like that. But, yeah, it should be – I mean, there's probably going to be not a lot of people in the crowd. But, I mean, well, you never know. There could be some layovers from PWG weekend, but I don't really expect a lot of people. I mean, because there's not really a lot of buzz to it. Like, even locally, like, I mean, it's just always PWG and probably the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood tapings. But those are usually the two shows that get a lot of buzz, I think, in SoCal and – surprisingly, this is not, but I think, I don't know, maybe it'll be a good show and the buzz coming out afterward will be really good, so hopefully it'll be like that, but right now there's not really a lot of buzz to it, and it's kind of not really sad, but I mean, we'll see what happens, because you never know with a first-time promotion, so.
Jerome, what are your thoughts on the show with the 8 participants?
I mean, I'm disappointed that it's not getting more buzz given some of the people that are involved in it. You know, I'm happy be that for any time that, you know, there's a promotion and guys are getting work, so that's a positive thing. We'll see if this goes anywhere. You know, there's really not much to say about it. I hope it does well. I mean, I hope that, you know, this is another opportunity for wrestlers to get opportunities on the West Coast and, you know, maybe for some local guys to get it. And, you know, maybe for some Brian Kendrick's trainees to work with, you know, quality talents like A.R. Fox and, you know, Paul London and, you know, some of the other guys that they're bringing in. So I hope it does well.
Absolutely, and hopefully we will get results from that show coming in. If you can send us results, mailbag@pwponderings.com. All right, guys, so that's pretty much all the reviews for everything that we have coming up. But in a little under 20 days now, WrestleCon is happening. So, Jerome, let our listeners know what's going on with this. PWP, it's going to be a big weekend, obviously, for all of us involved. So
this is one of the most incredible weekends of professional wrestling that we have ever had the honor and the privilege to cover. I think that, you know, when I went to Phoenix, Arizona 3 years ago, I thought it was crazy then sort of going to two DGUSA shows, a Ring of Honor show and a WWE show. I'm doubling the amount of shows and I'm not even going to Ring of Honor or WrestleMania. So that should tell you a lot about what's going to be going on with my weekend. But let's run this down a little bit here. I sort of want to preview what is to come over these next couple of weeks. We're working on a couple of big-time guests for the next week or so. So if you are not subscribing, you should be, because this is it. You know, we're having some of these big-game guests. You know, it started with DJ Hyde. You know, we're working on some people. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, some more additional audio will be coming up. But the goal of this is to sort of get more subscribers and to get more people's eyes and ears on this website so that you're ready for WrestleCon. Because once WrestleCon hits, it's going to be huge. The week before WrestleCon, we have three huge podcasts. The first one is going to be a Viva Chikara. It's going to be a special edition of that show. Kevin Ford, Justin Houston, and a possible special guest who I don't want to spoil because it's not official yet. They are going to be reviewing and previewing the Chikara show that is taking place April the 6th, the DGUSA show that is taking place April the 6th, as well as the DGUSA show April 7th. There will be another podcast featuring Chris Gieste, Matt Waters, and Ari Berenstein. They will be doing the Podcast of Honor, previewing the sold-out Super Card of Honor, as well as the Ring of Honor television tapings that are taking place the next day. There will be a third podcast that week, as I will be previewing Shimmer Weekend with Jennifer from the website, who's done some articles for us. I will be previewing CZW with someone, hopefully Matt Gibson will be joining me. And I will be previewing Evolve with Dez and Chris. So there will not be a newscast for a little bit here. But the idea is that, you know, we'll give you a little Dez Delgadillo. Dez, I know that people are going to be pining for you. So we got to give them a little bit, right?
Yeah, people are going to miss my golden tones.
But you're going to get a lot of Dez Delgadillo over WrestleMania weekend. Because let me tell you, folks, Dez is in charge of Pro Wrestling Ponderings for 3 days, from Friday, April the 5th to Sunday, April the 7th. Dez Delgadillo is in charge. So that means that every problem, you can email Dez Delgadillo, and it's his fault. I know this makes you happy.
That is true, yes. With great power comes great responsibility. If you don't like Dez Delgadillo, I apologize in advance, because WrestleCon weekend, it's going to be on my shoulders.
So, Dez, why don't you talk, because I've talked for a little bit and I'm going to talk some more, but Dez, what are you going to be doing over that weekend?
WrestleCon weekend, I will be in charge of the Ring of Honor review on Friday, so that will be live results. You'll be getting them on Twitter at PW Ponderings, but we'll also have live coverage on the website, and that's going to be what I'll be doing on Friday night. And on, I believe, Saturday, I will be in charge of the Dragon Gate USA review, the live results on the website. And again, with all of these live with all this live coverage on the actual site, pwponderings.com, we'll also have live tweets to supplement that from you guys, yourself and Chris, who will actually be at these shows live and in color. So we're going to have a lot on WrestleCon weekend.
Absolutely. Chris, what are you going to be doing over WrestleCon weekends?
So I'm going to be live tweeting a lot of stuff. I'm going to be live tweeting Friday Night, Evolve, and Ring of Honor. Of course, this is just to make sure that everyone gets coverage. It's going to be a fun night. You should go to PW Ponderings for a lot of the actual coverage of the matches and stuff from Dez. But in terms of results, you can check us out on Twitter. I'm also going to be tweeting both DGUSA shows. That's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be my first ones. So looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
So what am I going to be doing over WrestleCon weekend? What aren't I going to be doing over WrestleCon weekend? I'm the one that has sort of put everything together, and I've done my best to make sure that everybody has a little something to do, and everyone on Pro Wrestling Ponderings in some way is contributing to this effort to make sure that WrestleCon, WrestleMania, and Ring of Honor, all this stuff, that it goes down really smoothly. We have Evolve coverage on Friday night. Barry Murphy is going to be handling that. CZW coverage with Matt Gibson. So you're going to be having a CZW live recap going on the same time as a Ring of Honor one. If our poor website makes it through that, then it can make it through anything, everyone. And then Justin Ruff is going to be doing Shimmer live coverage on Saturday, April the 6th. Chikara, for whatever reason, is not doing an iPay-per-view. So there's going to be a little bit of lull in the afternoon, but pwponderings.com, twitter.com/pwponderings, those are the places to go for both Ring of Honor television taping results as well as Chikara results. Just a lot of really fun stuff. And then Sunday is going to be Barry again. We'll be doing the DGUSA. And people have probably forgotten about this, but there is a New Japan iPay-per-view taking place that weekend. We have that covered as well. Chris Bacon will be taking care of that. So
I feel kind of bad because, Brian, you're on the show right now, and you have, like, no one has mentioned you. What are you going to be doing during WrestleCon weekend if there was something you wanted to do?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously going to watch WrestleMania. That's a given. Some of you are not going to watch WrestleMania, are you?
Apparently I don't blame not. You, but
I don't blame you, but, you know, tradition. But, right. I mean, I was going to order a few pay-per-views that weekend. There's no way in hell I'm ordering two Ring of Honor pay-per-views, two Dragon Gate. No, wait, three Dragon? I don't know. Oh, and Evolve.
Two Dragon Gates, one Evolve, one CZW, one Ring of Honor. Technically, Chikara's not an iPay-per-view, so
Kaiju
I think
Big
that's
Battle.
More than WrestleMania.
Kaiju Big
so.
Battle.
Dez, are you going to do Kaiju Big Battle coverage?
I will. I was actually going to approach you about coverage, but I'll be watching it.
If you want to do tweets of that, go for it.
Yes.
I mean, it's not my thing, but Brian, how would you like to cover PWS? They're the only ones we're not covering.
Or Extreme Rising. There's a PWS show. There's an Extreme Rising show.
Sorry, Brian.
It don't matter. I mean, I was going to watch PWX eventually, so might as well make that my first one. So.
Wow. So we might have PWS coverage with Brian.
Hey, I mean, as much
that's awesome.
Whatever our history is with them, they got a stacked show, I will say. So, Brian,
I mean, I would cover Chikara, but it's like the only one that's not on iPay-per-view. Like that's the only one that I wanted to be.
That's my Quackenbush taunting us. That's what it is.
Oh, boy.
Jeez,
we'll have to wait till I think it's June 2nd for the big one for them. So
That's their next iPay-per-view.
Yeah.
Anniversario, yeah.
I think they're dropping the ball, and this should be the iPay-per-view, but whatever. They're standing out like they like to stand out, so.
All right, so there you go. We will have Pro Wrestling Syndicate coverage on PW Ponderings.
Oh, boy. Everyone, can't wait to get the emails. I can't wait.
We are the best website ever. I'm just saying.
Only if our website survives it.
And I am going to be live tweeting CZW results and Shimmer results, but that's not all. I am in efforts, and I'm working with people to actually do interviews at WrestleCon. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to ruin anything or curse anything, but if there is not at least a good amount of audio coming from that weekend, then I've just not done my job. Expect to hear some stuff from Chris and I as well. We are going to make a concerted effort to record podcasts, hopefully Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll see how that works. But essentially what's going to happen is any audio from WrestleCon, that's going to be the audio for the week. We are not doing anything as Chris, Dez, myself, Kevin, Ryan, we're going to spend the next week sleeping. So there will not be a preview. There's not going to be a newscast the following week. There's not going to be anything. Chris and I are going to cover everything that we need to cover, hopefully in like a Sunday wrap-up show of some sort.
Which means we may miss Undertaker versus CM Punk. Thanks.
No comment. Chris, not comment. So PW Ponderings is the place to come for all of your indie news results.
That's right.
For live coverage. Hopefully our poor website survives. I'm so worried about it right now. That's CZW Ring of Honor. If we get by that, I feel like we'll be okay. But
absolutely. And we definitely appreciate it. We don't want to sound like these are literally first world problems. We definitely appreciate everyone coming to our site for all the results.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we apologize ahead of time if you come to the site and it's not up. Just keep hitting reload, and it will come back up.
And twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to go because Twitter very rarely crashes. So definitely keep an eye on that because if the website goes down for whatever reason, then results are going to continue to go up because people who are at the shows will be tweeting. So we've thought of this. I've thought of contingency plans already. So
Jerome has thought it through, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited for WrestleCon and I'm sad I can't be there live, but I'm glad that most of these shows will be on iPay-per-view. It's going to be like the Disneyland of pro wrestling that weekend, so get ready.
And you're in charge, so there's that too.
That too, yes.
So
all right, guys, well, why don't we if needed, obviously all that information was just put out there, is going to be in the information for this podcast. We appreciate you guys listening to us this long, so why don't we get out of here. But before we do that, let's get some plugs in. Dez is going to start with you.
All right, so again, I'll be in charge of PWP, so I guess it's good now for you to memorize my Twitter handle so you can send me any problems you might have with the website that weekend, at Dez Delgadillo on Twitter. And if you can't figure out how to spell that, it will be in the podcast description probably. Also, my ECW's video series, I know we've been on hold for a while. I have a new video ready, and I will upload it, so it'll probably up by the time you listen to this podcast. youtube.com/ECDubs commentary, or on my own website you can find the videos posted as well, thingsdezsays.net, and we do a lot of fun stuff there as well. Right now I'm trying to go through the Chikara season 12 along with the folks at PW Ponderings are doing reviews as well. I'm doing my own reviews and kind of putting my own spin on things with this season. I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to review them all in a timely fashion. So we're having fun with Chikara over there as well. So that's pretty much all I'm doing right now. ThingsDezSays.net, at Dez Delgadillo on Twitter, and EC Dubs.
Brian, let people know how they can converse with you.
I am on Twitter at Brian Dubrain. That's D-A, not T-H-E. And right now I'm kind of looking for a job. So if anyone wants to hire like a graphic designer, guy who makes movies for you, that'd be me. So if you want to see my portfolio, it's online. I have some fun stuff on there, b2uportfolio.tumblr.com. And that's my story, or that's my situation right now. I can afford PWG, and then let's see what I can afford after that with no job.
Hey, if anyone's out there and can hire him, we will definitely get that information out there. Drum Cuson, let people know how they can talk to you.
I mean, I have like three jobs, so if you want one, I wish I could give you
I'll
one.
I'll take it.
You fly to Chicago.
You wouldn't want what I do, believe me. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find my personal Twitter account. You can also find my commentating work, YouTube.com/PWCollision. Dez, I know you're catching. I know you're keeping up. I know you're watching. I know you're listening and enjoying.
Every show.
Exactly. I love when Dez no-sells me. It's so hilarious. It's like our shtick now. I say a lot of wonderful, excited things, and then Dez just completely no-sells it.
I balance out.
He really, you know, Dez and Brian really are the American Wolves, and I just found out who the Davey Richards of the team is.
Ooh!
You like that one?
Aren't we the Los Angeles American Wolves of Anaheim?
I thought it was the Los Angeles American Wolves. No, wait. The Los Angeles, California American Wolves of Anaheim.
That's right.
That's it. Lacaw.
We are not hashtagging that.
Absolutely not. YouTube.com/PW Collision. I will also be commentating for another company on April the 26th, Chaos Pro Wrestling. Check them out as well. You can find my reviews of PWG, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and Chikara. I don't know. I review have this new review style. Please send me feedback, hate mail, whatever.
For what it's worth, it seems a lot of people do dig it now.
I like it.
I'm gonna probably make some tweaks to it in the near future, but this is probably gonna be my review style for a long time to come because it is so much easier to watch a wrestling show when you're not trying to type constantly. Believe me, makes life so much easier. So AAW DVD reviews will hopefully be coming up. Dirty Deeds and the March Bourbon Street show. And Wrestling is Art, Smart Mark Video, let's go. I want to watch Wrestling is Art. I want to watch AR Fox kill himself. That's all I want in life. So do that. Chris has the website plugs. I've talked way too much on a show with four people.
Well, that's why we invited you on. So, of course, as always, you can find me twitter.com/CGSTong. That is CGSTONG. You, of course, can email me at the same thing, CGSTong@PWPonderings.com. Thank you for listening. If you are checking this out on iTunes or Stitcher for your Android apps, thank you. Review us. Leave us a 4 or 5 star review. Let that analog go wherever it needs to go. That algorithm goes crazy, but we want to get as much out there as possible. Of course, that's what we do here. We bring indie wrestling to everyone. Of course, check us out. PWPonderings.com is the main website. We're also on Tumblr, we're on Google+, we're on Twitter @PWPonderings, and on Facebook @ProWrestlingPonderings. So check us out. And for everyone here, thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
The big six-person main event can start with a bang here as Chris Hero, Candice LeRae, and Necro Butcher take on Human Flame of Claudio Castagnoli and Eddie Kingston.